Happy Independence Day, or July 4th, to all you folks in the United States of America and citizens who may be abroad right now. I'm abroad. No, I mean, I'm just a chick. But I've just got to do a quick little sponsored message, and then I'll be right back. Declaration of Independence signed that document. They really weren't 100% sure that the new nation was going to make it. They weren't sure it was going to even survive. And they knew if it didn't work out, they were going to be put to death for treason, because it was treasonous to the king and the crown of England. So I was thinking about, you know, when John Hancock famously signed his name extremely large. Well, when I was a kid, and of course everybody notices that signature, it's beautiful, flourishy, and, you know, of course that Hancock Insurance Company uses his signature as their logo, but he was a real man, and as a kid I thought he must have this humongous ego that he signed his name so big and so swirly and everything. But now as an adult, when I think about it and look at it, I think by putting it large like that, it was to be large and proud, and that he was basically giving the middle finger to the king. It's kind of like, I'm signing this, and I'm all for it, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not afraid to put my name to this, you know, as big as can be. There's no missing it. It doesn't look weak. It looks strong, and he's sure of himself. So, you know, you can imagine giving the middle finger to the king. I mean, he'd probably be the first one. If I was the king, he'd be the first one I'd behead, right? Or shoot, whatever it was. I don't know if it'd be firing squad. But back in those days, they would draw and quarter people, I think, still. So that's pretty nasty. I don't know if you know, when you hear that term drawing and quartering, it's basically tying each wrist in each ankle of a person to a horse or some cattle or whatever, but usually a horse, and tie one appendage to each animal, and then they would get the animals to run in different directions. Now, that, can you imagine? Well, whew, that's a disturbing thing. That is very disturbing. And that, to me, that just seems so much more frightening than a firing squad or a hanging. So anyway, it was like giving the middle finger to the king. So what I wanted to do on this is read off the names of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Now, here is the signers list, and we're going to be alphabetical, as I said. John Adams, he was a state representative from Massachusetts, and he was from Quincy, Massachusetts, and in 1776, he was 40 years old, and he was a lawyer. Here's my dog. Have some respect for the signers, please, Maddie. Okay. Anyway, and he had 5 children. So you can imagine the risk he was taking. It's basically, it was live free or die. If you have 5 children, and back in the days when women or his wife would be unlikely to be making money. Wow, that's scary. Then the second one, who is not a beer company, but the man who was featured on their label, Samuel Adams, and he was also from Massachusetts. He was a native of Boston. That's where he was born. He was 53. He had been married twice and had 2 children. Next one, Josiah Bartlett from New Hampshire. He was born in Amesbury, Massachusetts. He was 46, and he was a physician with 12 children. Carter Braxton was from Virginia. He was born in Newington, Virginia. He was 39 in 1776. He was a plantation owner who had been married twice, and he had 18 children. 18. The next signer is Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He was a state representative of Maryland, born in Annapolis, and he was 38 at the time of the signing. He was a merchant and a plantation owner with 7 children. The next signer, Samuel Chase, was from Maryland, born in Somerset County, Maryland. He was 35, a lawyer, and had 4 children. Abraham Clark, from New Jersey, was born in Elizabethtown, New Jersey. He was 50 and a lawyer, as well as a surveyor, and he had 10 children. George Clymer, C-L-Y-M-E-R, just like the auto repair manuals, I remember those. He was the state representative of Pennsylvania. He was born in Philadelphia. He was 37 at the time of the signing. He was a merchant with 8 children. William Ellery was from Rhode Island, born in Newport. He was 48 at the time of signing. He was a lawyer and a merchant, and he had 16 children. Next page. William Floyd, New Jersey. He was born in Brookhaven, New York. He was 41 at the time of the signing. Again, he was the state representative of New Jersey, 41, and he was a land speculator. Now, you may have heard of this man, Benjamin Franklin. He was the state representative of Pennsylvania. He was born in Boston, and he was 70 years old. So he was the oldest at the time of the signing. He was a scientist and a printer, and he had 3 children. Elbridge Gerry. It took me a minute to figure out whether his name, first or last name, was Gerry. Last name was Gerry. G-E-R-R-Y. First name, Elbridge. He was from Massachusetts, born in Marblehead, Massachusetts, was 32 at the time of the signing. He was a merchant with 7 children. Now we come to the man my county is named after, Button Gwinnett, state representative of Georgia. He was born in Gloucester, England, which looks like Gloucester, but I think it's Gloucester. He was 41. He was a merchant and a plantation owner with 3 children. And he was in a duel with a man named Burr, and he, if you want to see Button Gwinnett's grave, it's in the Anna, Georgia cemetery. There are some really, really cool graves there from the 1700s. So it's very interesting. It's in downtown Savannah, Georgia. Then the next one is Lyman Hall. There is a Hall County, Georgia. It's probably named after him. And he was the representative of Georgia. He was born in Wallingford, Connecticut. He was 52 at the time of the signing, and he was a physician and minister who had had 2 marriages and 1 child. And you know, back in those days, there were very seldom divorces. I mean, there were some divorces, but that would be very rare. Of course, people didn't really necessarily need a divorce unless they had a lot of money. A lot of times people would just go somewhere else and they would start a new life and a new family. They could just walk away because, you know, no social security number. There's no tracking. There's no hitting him up for child support. Not that Lyman Hall did anything, of course, I'm just saying. Then the next one, of course, is John Hancock from Massachusetts. He was born in Quincy, Massachusetts. He was a merchant. He was 40 years old at the time of the signing, and he had 2 children. Benjamin Harrison was the state representative from Virginia. He was born in Charles City County, Virginia. He was 50 years old, plantation owner and farmer, and he had 7 children. John Hart was the representative from New Jersey. He was born in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. He was 65 years old and landowner, and he had 13 children. Joseph Hughes was from North Carolina. Born in Kingston, New Jersey, he was a merchant and age 46. There's no record of marriage or children. Thomas Hayward Jr. from South Carolina. He was a representative for South Carolina, and he was born in St. Helena Parish, South Carolina. 30 years old at the time of the signing, he was a lawyer and a plantation owner with 8 children. William Hooper from North Carolina was born in, well, he was the representative for North Carolina, but he was actually born in Boston, Massachusetts. He was 34, a lawyer with 3 children. Stephen Hopkins from Rhode Island. He was born in Providence, Rhode Island. He was 69 years old, so he's probably second place to the oldest signer. He was a merchant, and he had 7 children. Francis Hopkinson was from New Jersey, born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was a lawyer and a musician. He was 38 years old, apparently a well-known musician at the time, and he had 5 children. Samuel Huntington was from, well, he represented a represented Connecticut, and he was born in Windham, Connecticut. He was 45, a lawyer with 2 children. Thomas Jefferson, I think we're familiar with that gentleman. He was the representative of Virginia. He was born in Albemarle County, Virginia. He was 33, lawyer, plantation owner, scientist. 6 children. Well, and those are the 6 documented. You know, he had some with one of his slaves, I think they say. I don't know if those children are counted here. Francis Lightfoot Lee from Virginia was born in Mount Pleasant, Virginia. He was 41, a plantation owner. He was married, no children. Richard Henry Lee represented Virginia, was born in Stratford, Virginia, 44 years of age, plantation owner and merchant. 6 children. Francis Lewis, New York. He was born in Llandaff, Wales. It's probably how you pronounce it. It's Llandaff, Llandaff, Wales. He was 63, a merchant with 7 children. Philip Livingston, New York. He was representative of New York. He was born in Albany, New York. He was 60 years old, a merchant with 9 children. Thomas Lynch, Jr., South Carolina. He was born in Prince George's Parish, South Carolina. He was 26, a lawyer, and he was married but had no children, at least at that time. Thomas McKean of Delaware. He represented Delaware, but he was born in Chester County, Pennsylvania. He was 42, a lawyer with 11 children. Arthur Middleton, South Carolina representative, was born in Charleston. He was a plantation owner, age 34, had 9 children. Lewis Morris from Westchester, New York, Westchester County, New York, excuse me, was a plantation owner, 50 years old, with 10 children. Robert Morris of Pennsylvania was born in Liverpool, England, 42 years old. He was a merchant and a land speculator. He was, let's see, he had 7 children. John Morton was from Pennsylvania, born in Ridley Township, Pennsylvania, was 52, a farmer with 8 children. Thomas Nelson Jr. was from Virginia. He was born in Virginia, in Yorktown. He was 37 years old, had 13 children, and he was a merchant and plantation owner. William Paca was a representative for Maryland, and he was born in Abington, Maryland. He was a lawyer, plantation owner, had 5 children, and was aged 35 years old. Robert Treat Paine, it's P-A-I-N-E, from Massachusetts, was born in Boston. He was a lawyer and a scientist with 8 children, and he was age 45 at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. John Penn was the representative of North Carolina, but he was born in Carolina County, Virginia. He was a lawyer and 36 years old, and he had three children. George Reed from Delaware. He was born in Northeast Maryland. He was 42, a lawyer with five children. Caesar Rodney from Delaware. He was born in Dover, Delaware. He was a plantation owner and a military officer, age 47 at the time of the signing, not married, no children, at least at that time, I guess I should say. I think that's it's all at the time of the signing. George Ross was the representative of Pennsylvania. He was born in Newcastle, Delaware. He was a lawyer, age 46 at the time of the signing, and had three children. Dr. Benjamin Rush from Pennsylvania. He was representing Pennsylvania, born in Philadelphia. He was a physician, age 30, one marriage, and 13 children. Edward Rutledge from South Carolina. He was born in Christ Church Parish, South Carolina. He was a lawyer, plantation owner, age 26, three children, two marriages. Roger Sherman from Connecticut, a representative of Connecticut, was born in Newton, Massachusetts. Was 55 years old at the time of the signing, was a lawyer with 15 children. James Smith, representative of Pennsylvania, was born in Northern Ireland. He was 57, a lawyer with five children. Richard Stockton was representative of New Jersey. He was a lawyer, age 45, married once and had six children. Thomas Stone represented Maryland. He was born in Charles County, Maryland in 1743, so he was 33 at the time of the signing. He was a lawyer and had three children. George Taylor represented Pennsylvania. Born in 1716 in Ireland, he was 60 years old at the time of the signing, a merchant, and had two children. Matthew Thornton of New Hampshire represented New Hampshire, but he was born in Ireland in 1714. He was 62 years old at the time of the signing, a physician, and had five children. George Walton, the county that's near my county, of Gwinnett County, Walton County is where our neighboring city of Loganville, Georgia is, and it's Walton County, which is named after George Walton. I took forever to get around to that. Anyway, that county next to me is named after George Walton. He was a representative of Georgia, born in 1741 in Cumberland County, Virginia. He was 35 at the time of the signing, a lawyer with two children. William Whipple was representative of New Hampshire, and he was born in Kittery, Maine. He was age 46, a merchant, was married, but had no children. William Williams, representative of Connecticut, was born in Lebanon, Connecticut. He was 45 years old, a merchant, married with three children. James Wilson represented Pennsylvania, and he was born in Carscurdo, Scotland. He was 33, a lawyer, married twice, and seven children. John Witherspoon represented New Jersey. He was born in Gifford, Scotland. He was age 53. He was a minister, married twice, with 12 children. Oliver Wolcott was representing Connecticut. He was born in Windsor, Connecticut. He was 49 years old, a lawyer, one marriage, four children. And George Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. Or maybe it was with George Wythe, I believe, though, a representative of Virginia, and he was born in Elizabeth City County, Virginia. He was 50 years old, a lawyer, married twice, and had one child. This information came from the American Council of Learned Societies, American National Biography, New York, Oxford University Press, 1999. Also, Who Was Who in America, historical volume, 1607 to 1896, published in Chicago by the A.N. Marquis Company in 1963. And that was from the archives. It's www.archives.gov/founding-docs/signers-fact-sheet. And I will put that link in the show notes, in case you want to access that information. But like I said, there's lots of great trivia in there about who was the oldest, and I'll go ahead and tell you right there. It was Benjamin Franklin, and it's interesting how some were born actually in other countries, and come here and believed in this new nation. So I hope that was interesting to you, and if you have any comments or want to leave me a message, that would be great, or if you want to email me, my email is daraladixon@gmail.com, daraladixon@gmail.com, or you can find our Facebook group, which is the True Crime Some of the Time podcast, and we're on Facebook, so True Crime Some of the Time, and we'll have more links and things posted there too. So thanks for listening, and thanks for taking this time with me to honor the signers of the Declaration of Independence. There certainly are names there that we have not heard of, and that's not really right, is it? So let's try to give them some attention far and wide, and who knows, maybe somebody will listen to this next year, but it's being recorded on July 4th of 2019. Okay. And now for the segment of our podcast in which I share with you some blooper clips, or, well, not everything is a blooper. Sometimes it's just something that didn't make the cut. It wasn't good enough for the high quality and standards which I have set for our podcast here. But sometimes I have little flashes of stupidity and or greatness or great stupidity. And, you know, too good to throw away, but not really good enough to keep. It's kind of like maybe something like some hand-me-downs you give somebody. But anyway, here it is. I'm recording my podcast from Snellville, Georgia, population about 19,000. And it's in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Our county is named after Button Gwinnett. The guy's name was Button. Like a button on a suit. Kind of cute. Maybe they thought, well, he's cute as a button. Let's call him Button. I have no idea.